entering a brand new month. We're getting near to the end of the year. You're thinking about the new year, perhaps, and this is a time that decisions are being made as we think about 2025. Can't believe it. How do you make decisions? We had part one on this yesterday. Want to continue the discussion today. I'm Dr. Randy. This is the Intentional Living Center. We have one goal. That's to help you experience life the way God intended. Number one on the list is making a decision to do that. If you make a decision today that says, I'm going to, the best I can, with God's help, try to figure out what pleases Him. What is it that God intends for whatever I'm facing, for my marriage, my family, a decision I'm making? That's the starting point. You get that settled in your heart. You're going to be, I think, 80% around the horn there of making that decision in a good way. It's interesting. The stats show that 96% of adults say they rely a lot on their own research. In other words, they're doing their own thing. And of course, now with online research, boy, you got to be careful the things you look up online. If that becomes the basis of how you make a decision as a Christian, we should be going clearly right into God's word. The Bible says there's more comfort and security and safety in many counselors, having the right counselors that can give you input. And when you set up the game plan for making a decision in your life, when you actually make the decision, it's going to turn out, I believe, a whole lot better. So today, that's what we're talking about, how to make decisions. Love to have you join in and be a part of the show today on our comment line at 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's start off with Elizabeth, who's in Michigan on the phone. Hi, Elizabeth. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your question today?
I guess a little bit of advice. So a little backstory. Today's the anniversary of when I was rear-ended on the highway. Mm. Whiplash. I was knocked unconscious. Whiplash. Multiple issues going on after that, procedures, physical therapy, all that stuff. And I had just turned 21.
Mm. How far back was that? How many years ago was that, Elizabeth?
7.
So you've been really struggling physically from this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like deep neck pain. That's debilitating, but it's hard for me to admit and get to that point where I'm like, I need something.
So you try to make a decision if you're going to get some help for this?
Oh, so I have. I have a very loving family, supportive. I've actually probably about a year ago, I checked into a hospital because I also have epilepsy, so I could go through the detox stage in a safe environment. And I've relapsed a couple times, and my fiance is very supportive and loving, and love is blind sometimes, I think. I'm trying to ask how to approach or word letting him know, don't ignore the signs. Hold me accountable, but at the same time, I know I need to do that to myself or for myself.
Asking Elizabeth, your boyfriend, you want him to be more aware of what you're experiencing so he can step in without having to be asked to help?
Yeah. I guess not overlook the signs.
What kind of signs? You mean your physical signs?
If I go back to drinking, because it has happened a few times.
Okay.
And I'm not completely honest and open about it. Not great with vulnerability.
Okay.
That's my downfall. Yeah.
Well, you're being very vulnerable here, Elizabeth. I applaud the fact that you're willing to share that with me. I would really encourage you to do that same thing. Does your boyfriend know about this?
Yeah, he was there. My fiance was there with me when I went there and went through all that. And so supportive. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
so why is it hard for you to talk to him? Why is it hard if he knows everything? It's just hard for you just to Admit when things
are... Admit, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Admit it and verbalize. That's where I struggle. I'm good with writing, and that's why I've mentioned the more heavy stuff to him before. And
is he good when you talk to him about stepping in and being encouragement?
He is. I can tell him anything without judgment. He's there for me. I know that. And so I guess that's kind of why I feel guilty too. It's because I know I can. And if he's going to be my husband, I need to be better about leaning on him. And
That, but you also know that you have to be able to take care of yourself too. In other words, you know, you want him to... You don't want him to become in bondage to have to take care. Does that make sense? You want him to be supportive, encouraging, but also get the strength that you can take care of yourself too. And it sounds like you've had to do that and done a good job over these last number of years. What helps you feel more in control of this in your own life? At what times do you feel most encouraged?
Honestly, church, listening to your station, and having that sense of purpose. I do work with kids with autism as a behavior tech.
Good.
And so that, I want to be good for them, seeing the progress. It's so rewarding. But I don't think it's my end all be all. So I'm just trying to find that like niche, what I think my purpose is, my career, what God's trying to lead me to. And
well, you've got a lot going on in your mind, don't you?
Yeah.
You got a lot, and that's okay. You know, we all do that, but you've got a lot going on about your illness or your physical challenges, about the drinking, about your fiance or your boyfriend thinking of getting married, about your work. And what can happen is we can get all these things so jumbled in our mind, it's easy for us to look for escapes. Alcohol is one, entertainment is another. One of the things we focus on in intentional living, Elizabeth, is we want to experience life the way God intended. And the first thing we point people to is scripture. I would encourage you to find scripture, do your homework, research, find four or five scriptures that just really help you get focused every day on trusting him. And then memorize those. Keep them in front of you and go to them often. Number two, with your boyfriend, you don't want him on a hook of responsibility, but at the same time, you want him to be aware when you need maybe a little extra support. That's part of being in a marriage relationship. I don't know if it's a word, a cue, whatever, but we got a lot of guys listening that would say, if she would just tell me when she needs something, I'll do it. And so assuming he's going to be aware or know is not going to be as productive as just being honest. When I'm having a tough time, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to tell you. But at the same time, you need to, in my view, I would encourage you to continue to stay in counseling and continue to, you're in a battle, as you know, with it sounds like maybe with alcohol. And many people are today. And to find the things that help you to battle that. Have you been involved when you went into detox? Was that, Elizabeth, was that because of alcohol?
Yeah. I haven't had an issue with anything else. That was kind of like what you said, just numbing at first the physical, and then I kind of came to the realization it was also for emotional or mental anxiety and depression if I was going through that.
So. Are you still getting support for that? Are you like an AA or any other program or support system?
I moved about 2 hours away from a place that I was going to meetings, and it's just been a lot of transitioning, I guess. I fell off my parents' insurance, so I got my own, and then figuring, like, adulting, basically. I'm figuring out who's in network. And
did you find help with that program?
Not in the last 6 months.
No, but before, when you were involved, was that helpful?
Yeah, the talk therapy.
Mm-hmm. But you're out of that now. You're coming off insurance. So you're, it sounds like you're going through a lot of transitional things in your life as I hear you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. All right. I mean, just real basic here for you, Elizabeth. I would encourage you with your boyfriend, get the proverbial cards on the table. Like you said, you're adulting now. You're getting out under from your parents' insurance. You're getting on your own feet, but you got to take care of yourself. You need to be involved in a program. You need to get some counseling, get support for yourself. You and your boyfriend need to be really honest with each other. And I would encourage you to really work on this, get a handle on this before the two of you would move into the next stage. You can do this, Elizabeth. You're bright. You know what some of the issues are. You've experienced them. You've been victorious here in these last 7 years. You've gotten help. And I would encourage you to continue to do that. Seek that help in your new location. It's available, I'm sure, somewhere nearby. Get plugged in, all right? And allow God to do a work in your life. I tell you what, I promise, as we have thousands of listeners, many of them will be praying for you today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
An emotionally weak person, when you're around them, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. There's that sense of, if I say something, or if I do something, or if I respond in a certain way, I'm walking on eggshells and I could crack. And so there's a sense of carefulness, being careful around this person. It could be that there's an overreaction to normal life situations. That's what I often will do when I'm feeling fearful or anxious. I'll overreact to little things, and Donna can tell you that. I'll overreact to them. And we all have these kinds of things, right? Another way you can see if a person is struggling with their emotions is, you know, when they're calling you on the phone and you see the caller ID, maybe you hesitate before you answer the phone.
Indeed.
Yeah, I get a lot of those. Right now, though, what I get is all the spam calls. Drives me crazy. I don't know, but maybe it's just me. Somebody has a full solution to the problem. I don't know. But anyway, that's an excerpt from the lesson that's up there for you this month on your emotions as we go into this new month of November. Thank you for your support. Thanks for standing with us. As members, you're making a difference through Intentional Living. You can join us in monthly support by going to theintentionallife.com, or you can click on donate when you get there. Or if it's easier for you, you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. All right. All right, let's go to a call. So, Zoe in Michigan, I understand you're having to make some pretty serious decisions about a friendship, apparently.
You know, I'm such a loving person, open person, and I love meeting people. And I, you know, had got my life in a great direction spiritually and just really put God first place. Then I met a girlfriend who was just, we had a lot in common, a lot of likes, you know, art and cooking, things just kind of clicked with us. And she did not have God in her life, and she was going to different events and things like that, and I just kind of got caught up in all of that and lost sight of God. And I was at one of the events, and I thought, what am I doing? What have I done? And I just let her know, I felt like I needed to step back a little bit, that I was in a really good place, and I really appreciated her friendship, but I was missing something, and I needed to go back to it. And she was very understanding, and it was about 8 months later, I look over, and she was at church. Wow. So I believe that, you know, maybe God was testing me in my direction in life, but at the same time, he was testing her to see, how open she would be to, you know, where I was in my life, have God in first place in her life.
Well, you know, so Zoe, I'll tell you what's exciting about that is that it was a question of influence. She influenced you until you realized, hey, you know, she's a nice person and I like her, but God is number one in my life. And the influence changed from her to you, and now you're influencing her. She obviously was watching your life, watching your decisions, watching your priorities, watching that you're living your life intentionally, and that had to draw her in.
I agree, and it was very overwhelming, and it still is to this day. You know, when people ask us where we met, we look at each other and we just laugh.
Yeah, that's great. Listen, you made a decision, and you didn't know the consequence of that decision, but it turned out right, and that's good. All right, we go to Barbara in Michigan. Barbara, welcome to the show today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right, what's going on? What's your question?
My question is, I have a daughter that I haven't spoken to in 6 years. It all started when she needed some help. She has a business, and she says, Mom, I really need you to come and, you know, help me for a while if you can. And we go to Florida in the winter, so I says, well, you know, okay, I'll come and help you. And so I left my husband in Florida at Valentine's Day and went to be with my daughter. And we had some differences while I was there. And we got into an argument. And out of the clear blue sky, she up and said, well, it's all right. You're not my mother anyway. You never have been. And it was like she took a sword and just stabbed me in the heart.
Imagine. That may have been her intention at that moment. She may have intended to do that at that moment, unfortunately.
You know, I don't know where that came from because we were always very close.
Okay, let's just be real objective for a minute, Barbara. I hear your pain, and God love you. I know 6 years, you're struggling, no communication. You're not my mom. She's not saying you're not her mom. She's saying you've not been the mom that I needed. That's really what she's saying, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. She was in the military. She got out of the military. She had two babies.
No, you're missing. No, the question, Barbara, is when she said that to you, she was saying something along the line of, you're not my mom, you've never been my mom. It sounds like she's saying, you haven't been supporting me. Here's my question, very, very succinctly, very clear. What did you say that upset her 6 years ago?
I don't know. I've always supported her.
No, what happened, though? You said you had a disagreement with her. What did you disagree about?
Oh, her gym. She told me that she didn't want anybody behind the snack bar. And one of her close friends went behind the snack bar while I was there. And she says, I do not want anybody behind that snack bar but you.
And
my daughter,
because of that, she got
very particular.
And then you guys.
And I went over to tell her friend, that she wasn't supposed to be there.
All right. Well, Barbara, have you reached out to your daughter? She just won't connect with you at all?
Right.
And is she married?
She is now.
Do you have grandchildren from her?
Two.
Do you have a relationship with them?
No. My one granddaughter is in Africa. She does safaris and does photography.
No, what I mean, though, are they cut you off, too?
Oh, no.
All right, so you have a relationship with them. They're just far away. All right, so what's your question for me? I hear estrangement. How can I help? What's your question for me, Barbara?
I just want to know why. You know, she wants to hurt me so bad.
Mm.
Well, you know, I wish I could answer that. Why do we hurt each other like this? You know, what is it in us? Sometimes it almost feels like revenge, doesn't it? Like someone's paying back. And Barbara, I hear your pain. I really do. And I can't imagine that hasn't happened to me, but to those who have had that kind of thing, they're really relating to the pain when they've been hurt by someone that they loved and trusted, and then they feel like that, like they got stabbed in the back or the heart from them. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to think about, Barbara. It's been 6 years. You may never hear from your daughter. Why? And I think when we go down an alley looking for the answer to the question of why did another person do something, sometimes we'll never get the answer, often, for lots of different reasons. The question I think you should ask yourself is, what should I be doing now to be intentional toward my daughter, my granddaughters, and frankly, at this stage in my life, what should I be doing to bring glory to you, God, and benefit to those around me? And I say this with a lot of love, Barbara, but do not allow your daughter to hold you captive one more day emotionally. I'd keep the door open, send the cards for Christmas and all the things that you want to do, but as long as you allow her to continue to hold on to your heart like that, she has control. And here's a closing statement to everybody who's experiencing this with a person who is a manipulative, controlling person in your life. The weakest person in a relationship will always control that relationship. So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you for doing that. By the way, your support's making a difference. And boy, that was timely, wasn't it? The lesson this month is on how to love that emotionally weak person in your life. That's a difficult thing to do sometime, isn't it? Very difficult indeed. By the way, you can leave a comment on our storyline as you call 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. The phone number. All right. You know, you all leave comments and stories on our storyline, which I appreciate you taking the time to do that. And we love hearing from you, giving us an opportunity to respond to you. I think we have time for one more, Dave. Can we go down to Tina from Michigan? She has something she wants to share with us. Maybe it's even a question. Let's take a listen.
I have been separated from my husband since the beginning of May of last year. And I'm really working on restoration, but he doesn't seem to want that. We separated because of some issues going on, and since then there's been, you know, he's been going out with some people, and I saw something on Facebook. I'm not friends with him, but anyway, I just wonder, is there a time when only one person is willing that you, you know, cut loose from it, or if you just keep... I mean, I know God can do anything. It's just if he's not willing, I don't know what to do.
Well, when you say he's unwilling, have you had any sessions together? Have you had any plan of action?
We went to counseling before we separated, but he was going out and he stayed out all night and never let me know where he was. And I told him, well, maybe we need a break to work on this. And we see each other here and there.
Is he involved? When you say he's going out, is he involved with another woman? Is that what's going on?
Well, I can't say for sure. I just know he went out with another woman. I don't know how much more than that it was, but as friends or whatever. I'm not okay with that. That's not something I would do, but, you know, I just don't know.
What was the issue? Why did you guys really separate? Was there one core issue?
Not well, communications, a lot of it, I'm sure. This is a second marriage, and I had said I would never get married again. I met him. He was going to church, and I thought we had the same values, and I don't think that we did, and we don't talk well and communicate well. And when he started going out and being gone overnight and not wanting to tell me while I was with my friends, and that's when I said we need a break. And I've been studying, and I have a mentor. And I just don't know when, because I've been trying to study on a godly wife and all those things, and I've been patient. I just don't, you know.
Yeah, that she left that comment. We talked together and some time ago, and we're sharing that caller again from Michigan because it's a reminder that when we talk about making decisions, some decisions only involve us. It's a decision I need to make that's for me. But many of the, what I call the permanent tricky decisions in life involve other people. And Tina is an example of that. Tina and others that we've talked to today and yesterday on this topic sometimes are people who've ended up in bondage as a result of a decision that they made, which was intended to be a permanent decision, and now finding themselves questioning, is it a permanent decision after all? When I hear you say, Tina, that he doesn't want that, he doesn't want to reconcile, he doesn't want to get into counseling, and he's out and doing other things, and here you are feeling in bondage. Can I just encourage you as we close up the show today, and everyone, if you feel like you're in emotional bondage because of a decision that's been made that you realize now has consequences that you have very little control over, that you turn and take care of yourself spiritually, relationally, morally, in terms of your own values, living out your values, don't make something that's bad worse by things that you do, and grow like crazy, grow in Christ, grow in healthy relationships, grow in trusting God, and allow him to, you know, to reveal over time what it is that maybe needs to happen or the direction that you need to make or decision you need to make. I do know this, when we make decisions, when we're at the low point, many times those are the worst decisions. All right, 2 days in a row. I hope you'll go and take a listen if you missed yesterday as we continue to talk about the power of being intentional with your decision making. If you have a thought or comment, share it on our storyline at 888-888-1717, or you can go to theintentionallife.com for many helpful resources. Thanks, team, for your help. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. It's here every day and a ministry of Intentional Life Media.